Welcome to this session on the intentional living process. This session focusing on marriage as I take you through the steps that I have found in working with people over the years that really works. And I promise you that if you follow these four steps that we talk about here in intentional living, something radically positive can happen in your life. Not only in the area of marriage, by the way, but it can happen in the other areas that we're teaching in this series. Last month, talking about parenting. This month, marriage. We're going to talk about our faith, about health, and about work and finances in the sessions ahead as we focus on living intentionally. And this process that we're going to go through is applicable to every area of your life. You know, as a counselor now for nearly 30 years, I've had the opportunity of talking with thousands of couples, either individually or following a conference that I'm teaching, and to hear their stories. And many times when I walk away from a couple after talking with them or counseling with them, I sort of shake my head inside a little bit and I feel for them and the struggles they're going through. But then I recognize that in many ways, it was just foolish decisions that one or both made in their marriage that caused them to be where they are today. Because I believe that you and I can have the best marriage on this planet if we choose to. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but we can have a good marriage, maybe even a great marriage, if we get up every day and choose to live intentionally. And this little process that we're going to go through, I call the Freedom Process, I think will make a difference in your life. I was thinking about being foolish, and the Scripture speaks to this. In Proverbs 14:3, it says that a fool's talk brings a rod to his own back. And sometimes in our marriage, it's like we do something foolish. We do something dumb. You know, we say something, we do something, and it's like taking a rod and beating ourselves on the back, our own backs. So we hurt ourselves. And that's a foolish thing to do. Here's the Scripture in Proverbs 12:16 says that a fool will show his annoyance at once. I thought, boy, is that applicable to marriage? How often do we find ourselves in our marriage just whatever we're feeling, whenever we get annoyed, it just shows up and it creates difficulty in the marriage. Many proverbs, I think, are applicable, but here's one that's very graphic because I think it really shows how foolish we can be in our lives. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool will repeat his folly. And many times in our marriage, we continue to get in this pattern that's very unhealthy and kind of a vicious cycle where we do one thing and then we try to correct it and then we do it again and around it goes. And so we're hoping that through this lesson and through this intentional living process that we're teaching during these months, we're going to be able to break this foolish cycle in our life, in my life as well, and to be very intentional in our marriage. And so today, it's going to be a very practical lesson as we talk about how to be intentional in your marriage. You may recall that in the last lesson, we talked about this little freedom process. I'm using the acrostic of freedom, F-R-E-E, which is at the core of this process or plan that we go through of living intentionally. And let me just rehearse with you what that acrostic stands for. The F stands for focusing on intent before action. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Repeating actions until they become habits. See, those are the two bookends that I've been talking about with intentional living. On one end, it's living intentionally. On the other side, it's taking action. It's the living part. So it's intentional and it's the action. So the focus and then repeating actions until they become habits. But you can't be successful with that unless you eliminate from your life those things that we call clutter. And we're going to talk about different forms of clutter. And today, I'm going to focus on the one of emotional clutter. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And then I think it's important with the last E in the acrostic of F-R-E-E to enjoy and celebrate the goodness of God. And we're going to just touch on that as well during this month. So let's begin with the letter F as we go through these four steps of this intentional living process. For the letter F, it's focus on intention before action. What does intention mean? See, intention is an internal process. It's something that goes on inside of you. The intention of your life is shaped by your values. It's shaped by your beliefs. It's firm over time. It's hard to measure. You know, I tell people in my conferences that we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge others by their actions. See, we don't see another person's intention. That's hard to measure. It's more, you know, tied to the idea of motivation, what's driving a person to do what they do. And one of the things that we find in our lives is if we don't stay focused on finding God's intention for our life. We talked about that quite a bit last time in session one. If we don't get God's intention, then we're just dealing with our own intention. And that can fall into being selfish and shallow and hollow. And that's why so often when we establish a goal, because goals come out of intention, right? You got intention, it leads to goals. Goals, when they're accomplished, sometimes leave us feeling hollow because they're not tied to something bigger with a greater purpose and meaning behind them. So finding our intention in our marriage is important. And not only what our intention is, but what God's intention is. I think I shared with you last time a verse from the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's a powerful verse that talks about intention. Here the writer to the Hebrews says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." And so the Word of God, the Bible, is given to us as followers of Christ to sort of lay us bare, to open us up. And when we read the Bible, it exposes our intentions. It exposes our attitude. It exposes that deep part of our life that, frankly, no one else sees except for God. And so when we're thinking of living intentionally, it's important to make sure that you focus on your intention before you focus on your action. Because when you do that, what you're doing is you're getting first things first. And then after you have this process of getting the internal work done, then actions. See, actions are external. Actions change over time. Actions are measurable. Actions are things that other people can see. And so this process that we go through is pretty simple. It's pretty clear. Get your intention right, and my intention, based on what God's Word teaches. And I'm going to share with you what I think God's intention is for marriage in just a moment. And then from intention, we want to turn that into a very practical goal. And the goal in your marriage, I'm going to give you 10 potential goals in just a few minutes, and I want you to pick one of them for the next week or the next 30 days and make that a goal for you, for your marriage. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So taking intention, turning it to a goal, turning a goal and turning that into an action, in other words, something that you do, and then the highest is taking the action and turning it into a habit, because habits multiply in our life. If you have a habit of loving your spouse, if you have a habit of being patient with your spouse, if you have a habit of communicating on a regular basis and solving problems, if you have a habit of just eliminating the kinds of emotions from your life that are destructive in your marriage or the blame game that can go on in marriage, you're going to have a great marriage. There's no question about it. If the two of you are in sync when it comes to being intentional in this area, it's going to change the quality of your marriage relationship. So as we think about this thing of intention, remember that intention, you can have the best intentions in the world, but if there's no action, see, an intention without action is simply a good intention. And we talk about that in our conferences a lot, about people who live with good intentions, and I refer to them as like crickets. You know, we make a lot of noise. We want people to hear what our goals are and the things that we aspire to do and how good we are. Come on, we all do this. But if we don't take action, if we don't follow through with our intentions, then it's like the cricket. It's just a good intention. On the other hand, you can have actions, you know, be busy doing things, but if you don't have the right intentions or the right motives or the right goals in your life, then it's a very unintentional life. And there's many of us, frankly, in our marriages that are jumping from, you know, one idea, one book, you know, one tape, one conference, one thought to another, and we're never getting clear on what God's intention for marriage is. Here's what I believe. When you and I get a clear picture in our hearts and our minds of what God's intention is for marriage, that'll radically change how you and I live every day in our marriage. Now, let me suggest this as what I see God's intention is for marriage, put into my own words. I believe that God's intention for your marriage, if you're a Christian couple, is to be a loving, supportive, God-centered relationship between a man and a woman that illustrates what God's love for His church looks like and feels like. We see that in the book of Ephesians, that husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And there's a picture there that God wants to get into our hearts, that as a man and woman, a bride and groom, if you please, love each other and demonstrate that kind of love on a regular basis, it becomes a picture of the body of Christ. It becomes a picture of the church. It becomes a picture of what God's intention is for how we operate as a body of believers. So now let me move on to the real core of this lesson. Because last month, as you recall, we talked about the fact that you have to focus on intention and do that before action. But the real core from month to month is on this letter R. And it's repeating actions and attitudes and make them habits. In other words, repeat actions and attitudes and drive them into becoming habits in your life. As we discussed, intentions lead to goals, goals lead to actions, actions lead to habits, and habits lead to intentional living. Now, for this topic on marriage this month, I'm going to encourage you to take one of these 10 that I'm going to share with you from a list of the top 10 intentionals for your marriage. And I'm going to encourage you to take one of these for this month and pray about it and make it a habit. Just do it. Just start today. One of these will hopefully resonate. You'll say, hey, I can do that. That's something I think will help my marriage. And you're being very intentional by taking one of these and repeating that action. See, repeating it every day or every other day or whatever the decision is that you make. And then until it becomes a habit. Because once it becomes a habit, it will multiply in your life. So you ready to go? Let's begin with number one. Here's number one on my top 10 list. How about listening without interruption? Listen to your spouse without interruption. Feeling heard in your marriage creates intimacy. The scripture says that we are to be slow to speak and swift to listen. They even use the word swift. I mean, there's a great intentionality about listening. You know, my wife and I, we've been married over 40 years. And we kind of know each other so well after these years. I can almost predict what she's going to say before she says it. And so I'm thinking about my answer. See, I'm thinking about how I'm going to respond to what she's going to say to me. You know, I'm ready to share something, and I know basically how she might even respond to that. But if I want to be intentional and have a stronger marriage, I've got to learn to really, truly listen, not only to the words that I hear, but to get behind her eyes and really understand the heart of what she's trying to communicate with me. So let me encourage you. Maybe this is the one thing that you'd like to select. And for the next month, you just make a commitment to say, you know, I'm going to just close my mouth. I'm going to listen. I'm not going to prejudge what my wife or husband's trying to say to me, but I'm going to just look into their eyes. And I'm going to truly listen to what they're saying. You know what I can promise you? That one decision, if you get nothing else out of this teaching this month, if you were to do that one thing for the next 30 days, to listen carefully to what your spouse is saying, draw them out by asking them to share more without trying to answer or correct them or solve their problem, I can almost guarantee you that at the end of the month, your spouse will say, hey, there's something different. I don't know what it is, but there's something different going on between us. That is a very powerful thing that you can do in your marriage. Here's another thought, number two on my top 10 list. And this one goes to the guys. If you're married, how about asking your wife, what one thing can I do this week that will make you feel most loved by me, and then doing it? Wow, that's a powerful question. Now, if you ask that question, you need to be ready to do it, to hear that one thing from the heart of your spouse that would make a difference in their life. I was sharing this lesson with the staff earlier in the week, and one of my staff members asked me about, well, what about expectations? You know, what about expectations in marriage? And you've heard me teach that expectations minus reality will always equal disappointment. But what you're doing with this question is you're starting to hear your spouse share something with you that they expect. You're hearing your wife share with you something that may be as simple as putting the toilet seat down. It may be just taking the trash out, helping me with the kids. And I'm sure she's got a long list, but even one thing for the, you know, for the next week, what one thing could I do that will make you feel most loved? Now, let me flip that, because number three on my top 10 list is for women listening today. If you're a wife, how about asking your husband, what one thing can I do this week that will make you feel most respected by me? And then doing it. You got to be ready. And he may say something you just want to push back on, but I encourage just to listen. And he may say, hey, I feel most respected by you when you you don't correct me or in front of the kids, or when you don't argue with me about a decision I'm trying to make, or whatever it may be, whatever's on his heart. If your relationship is strong enough that he can share that with you, I encourage you just to listen to it, absorb it, process it internally, and then for the next 30 days, make that a priority in your marriage. And I can almost guarantee you that that will do two things. First of all, the fact that you ask the question is going to be impressive to him. And secondly, as you actually do it, man, I mean, that really speaks to the heart of a man who may be a little closed and, you might feel like he's got a shell around himself. But as you show that kind of respect to him, I can guarantee you every man that I've ever run into has a need to feel respected by their wife. Here's number four on the top 10 list. Pray for and together with your spouse every day. There's something about spiritual intimacy that occurs when you pray together. Now, you may say, well, my spouse isn't a Christian. We're not on the same page spiritually. And maybe praying together isn't something that he or she's going to want to do. I mean, this isn't a matter of forcing them. But even if they are not interested, you can pray for them. You can take the power of prayer to your marriage. And if you do that every day, before God, just to say, Lord, you know the needs and desires of my heart in this marriage. You know the things that are being met and the things that are not being met. I pray that you will, break my heart and help me to be the man or the woman that I need to be, the husband or wife that I need to be in this marriage relationship. I mean, it begins with us. And I can promise you, if you do this one thing for the next 30 days, we're talking about this process, see, of building an intentional marriage. Doing this one thing alone will make a difference. Even if your whole marriage doesn't change in 30 days, even if everything doesn't get solved because it's not likely to happen, something will happen in your own heart as you focus on the power of prayer. Number five, how about this? Speak only words of encouragement to and about your spouse. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn a lot about your spouse. You may even find having a quieter home is something that you've not dealt with before. Because if you all of a sudden decide to control the words that come out of your mouth and only speak words of encouragement, I'm proud of you, I love you, I care for you, what can I do to help you? I'll tell you what, for a man, as a man, when my wife Donna speaks words of encouragement to me, I'll tell you, it's just like taking a balloon and pumping it up. It builds energy into my life. It helped me stay the course if I'm having a down day because of something going on in the ministry or something going on in my personal life or what have you. All she has to say is, I'm proud of you, or I love you, or you're going to be okay, or it's good, you're doing a good job, or whatever it is that she would say from her heart. Boy, that just builds me up. And that happens in our marriage relationship. The scripture talks about taking captive not only our thoughts, but it says in the book of Ephesians, let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth, Paul says, but only that which is edifying and building up one another. And it begins in our marriage. Here's number six. We're talking about the top 10 list. Pick one of these or two of these to work on. Number six, how about within the next 24 hours, you just simply jump in and help your spouse without being asked? I've learned in our marriage after many years that by just helping out with the simple things, like when I see the trash has to be all picked up in the house and taken out, to the trash can, I just do it. And I know Donna appreciates that. I mean, it's a simple thing. The other day I noticed that the door wasn't working right, and it wasn't, it was a simple thing. And I could live with it. I was okay. It was squealing, or it was sticky or something. And I just simply knew that was something that was bugging her. She wasn't bugging me about it. But I just fixed it. I just took care of it. It took 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just took care of it because I knew it was something that would help her. Now, if you have kids at home, to be able just to jump in, guys, and help your wife. Or maybe you're a stay-at-home dad for a working mom that's coming home to jump in and help. In other words, sharing the responsibility. I'll tell you something. Intimacy occurs in marriage, not only at the sexual level, but well before that, at this level of the sharing responsibilities, caring for each other, getting out behind our own eyes and seeing behind the eyes of our spouse, and doing those things which frankly build them up. That's really part of this intentional living process. Now, we're talking about the letter R, right? F for focusing on intention. R now repeating actions until they become habits. Here's another habit that you could have. Number 7, if you're raising children together, get on the same page. I'll tell you something. There's something that happens in a marriage when a man and woman, a mom and dad, get on the same page in parenting. Now, if you're a blended family, I'll tell you, after 30 years of counseling, this is the number one problem I hear in blended families. When a mom and dad are not on the same page, not working together, it creates a huge problem. So I encourage you to make it a priority of getting on the same page. And you can do that by just sitting down and saying, hey, I know we both have the same goal to raise our son or daughter in a godly way. Now, you know, what's standing in the way? What one thing could we do together in the next 30 days that would help us as parents to get on the same page? Here's number 8 on the list. Within the next week, schedule a date night for just the two of you. Now, if you're not doing that, I call it planned spontaneity. I encourage you to do that. Getting together, just going out, going for a walk, going to dinner, going to a movie, but just doing something together and get grandma and grandpa to watch the kids. I think that's an important thing to do. In fact, tonight when I go home, we're going to be watching two of our grandchildren as our son and daughter-in-law go out and spend some time together. We have fun. It gives us a chance to be with our grandkids, and I know it's something important for their marriage as well. So here's number 9 on the top 10 list. Within the next 7 days, solve a problem together. What's a problem you guys have been having that you're just not getting resolved? Is it a financial issue, putting a budget together, coming up with a plan for in-laws? Maybe it's sitting down and deciding on are you going to keep your home or sell the home or whatever it may be, but there's that kind of elephant in the room sometimes. It just festers and gets bigger and bigger and larger until it gets solved. So there's one thing. And here's a final thought. How about number 10? Find and share a mission together. Come into agreement and unity. There's passion when we're on the same page together. Now, I've given you a top 10 list of intentionals. I would encourage you to pick one of those, and for the next 30 days or for the next couple of weeks, make that your priority. And as you do that, you know, you're repeating that action until it becomes a habit. And when it becomes a habit, it will multiply in your life, in your marriage. All right, for the first letter E in F-R-E-E, free, the first letter E is to eliminate clutter. We talked about that last session, eliminate clutter. And I shared with you that there are 6 forms of clutter. There's mental clutter. There's emotional clutter. We have schedule clutter. We have, let me see, what else? Do we have friendship clutter, stuff clutter, and spiritual clutter? And last month I talked about mental clutter. Remember, we discussed the fact that how worry can overtake our lives, and I encouraged you to look at the book of Ephesians chapter 4 to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, Philippians 4 to focus on whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy, to focus on those things. And this session, I want to focus on one of the areas of clutter in our life that can really wear us out, and it's emotional clutter. You know, clutter are those things that hold us down in our life. And I was thinking, why is it that we collect things? You know, we looked at these different kinds of clutter in our lives. Why is it that we hang on to things, either emotionally or friendships that we shouldn't hang on to, or stuff that we shouldn't hang on to, or things in our schedule? And there are 4 things that came to mind. First of all is laziness. I think some of us, we just, you know, frankly hang on to clutter because it's more work to get rid of it than it is to hang on to it. I think a second thing is we're fearful. I think some of us fear losing, you know, those things that we hang on to. Frankly, in the emotional world, we can hang on to anger or resentment or whatever, jealousy, because we're fearful if we get rid of it, what do we do? You know, if I get rid of being angry, that means I've got to be something else. And I think sometimes with these habits that we've developed, I think we can have emotional habits that we collect And if we can learn to declutter some of these things, and if fear is standing in your way, I encourage you just to challenge that, to trust God, to say, I'm going to not be fearful in dealing with this in my life. I think a third thing, we sometimes hang on to clutter because it's comfortable. Look at your home. I mean, there's things that you're comfortable with. And I'm always amazed when I see some of these hoarding shows on television, how people have become almost comfortable with what seems ridiculous to those of us looking in. But I think if we're being honest, to a certain extent, we hang on to emotional clutter in our life or other forms of clutter because we're comfortable with it. And a fourth reason I think we hang on to clutter is that we don't know what to do with it. We don't know what to do. And that's part of this intentional living ministry, is helping us get free from some of these things that keep us from really experiencing God's best. John Gottman is a researcher who has spent his lifetime researching marriage. And he came up with the four things that he's discovered over years of research that he calls the four horsemen of the apocalypse in marriage. And he says if these things are in your marriage, because to a certain extent they show up in many relationships, but if they're fostered and if they're continuing to grow and they become sort of the habit of your marriage, the predictive nature of his research shows that your marriage is likely to fail. You're going to be one of those, you know, 30 or 40% of first-time marriages that end in divorce. So I think it's worth looking at these four in terms of clutter. How, you know, maybe these things are cluttering your life. First of all is criticism. Gottman says that criticism is at the top of the list. And if you have a critical nature, or you have a, you know, criticism is sort of in the dynamic of your marriage relationship, I really encourage you to deal with that. Criticism is something that, well, God didn't call us to be critics in our marriage. We're not our spouse's Holy Spirit. And instead of being critical, if we can build them up and then focus on problems that need to be solved, criticism can go away. Second of all, he found defensiveness to be one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in marriage. When we become defensive, in other words, when we're trying to communicate and our spouse immediately puts up a barrier, or you put up a barrier, you don't want to hear what they're going to say. You know, you already know what they're going to say. Defensiveness is damaging in marriage. Fourth is contempt. You see how this is getting more serious? Criticism, defensiveness, and contempt. Contempt is a looking down upon another person. It's a, you know, I have contempt for you. You can almost feel it. The word itself is almost painful. And if that's in your marriage, it needs to be, you know, you really need to deal with that. And then fourth is stonewalling, where you simply, you know, cross your arms, as it were, and say, hey, I'm not letting you in. I'm going to put up a wall, and I'm going to keep you out. And so, boy, there's a lot here when we talk about clutter, about emotional clutter. I would encourage you to just really pray about and think about these four, and maybe one of those is something that you want to work on. Maybe for the next 30 days, you say, hey, I'm going to choose for the next 30 days not to criticize my spouse, period. Well, that's a powerful thing. Now, the solution to all this, obviously, as Christians, it comes in prayer. It may come by getting counseling. We have resources here at the Intentional Living Center. We got the book Starve for Affection. We have a series on loving your marriage, the dynamics of marriage, a small group series that I think you'd find helpful to have an intentional marriage. That's available. We have CDs and other teaching available. So I'd encourage you to check it out at our website. But also to think differently. Emotions are either a result of our thinking or our behavior. I think it's a combination of both. So as we think differently, and the Bible talks about that, and as we behave differently toward our spouse, emotions will change. And specifically, let me give you an example. Maybe you find that criticism is a problem in your marriage. Change your thought. So the first thought when you see something isn't to criticize them, but taking captive that thought to say, I choose not to criticize my spouse, but in fact, at this very moment, to build them up and encourage them. Boy, you think about how that would make a difference if your spouse were to do that toward you. Every day, if you got a critical husband or wife, if every day, instead of criticizing, back to the encouragement and building up in your life, boy, that'd make a huge difference in your marriage. I know it would. It'd make a difference in any of our lives, because encouragement is something that we really desire in our relationships. The final E in F-R-E-E is to enjoy and celebrate God's goodness. You know, If you're having success in your marriage and if things are going well, maybe you have a good marriage now, celebrate it. You know, I try to tell Donna on a regular basis how blessed we are. We have been blessed. We've got a great family. We've got great kids and our grandkids and our family is healthy and they love the Lord and they're growing. We're not perfect. We've had all sorts of challenges in our extended family and we've had issues over 40 years of marriage. It's all part of the process of being alive. But if we focus on the blessings and we just enjoy each other as a family, you know, when our whole family gets together and we sit at the table, you know, with the kids and the grandkids, and you know, it might be a madhouse for 30 minutes, but you know, during those 30 minutes we're together, we can talk, we can share, we can look into each other's eyes, encourage each other. There's something powerful that happens when we enjoy and we celebrate God's goodness. And so my encouragement to you this month, as we've been focusing on marriage, is that you can have as good a marriage as you choose to have. I believe that with everything in me. It's a decision that you and I make. And my heart aches when I hear 40% of first-time marriages ending in divorce and, what, 60% of second-time marriages ending in divorce. And I know that the research shows that for true believers of Jesus Christ, where couples are active in their church and they're praying together, that divorce rate is much less. But nonetheless, 20% is still not a good number. See, a 20% failure rate doesn't work for our cars. You know, it doesn't work for our homes. It doesn't work for the appliances that we buy. We wouldn't be satisfied. And I don't think we should be satisfied until we can see in our Christian community that we're doing a better job to help each other, encouraging each other to be intentional in our relationship in marriage. And I want you to know that as a member of Intentional Living, as you support this ministry, you're standing strong for marriages. You're standing strong for parents. You're standing strong that the Word of God will get out and encourage people to live intentionally in their walk with Christ. And I want you to know that we're here for you. If you're struggling, or you have a son or daughter, maybe, or a grandchild that's struggling in their marriage or their family, we're here. Our prayer ministry receives thousands of prayer requests every month, and we'll pray with you and stand with you. We have resources here that we have available that you can use to build a stronger marriage or to have a small group in your home and encourage other marriages. But I want you to know we appreciate your support, and I want to thank you for standing with us here at Intentional Living. Let me close this session in prayer. When we come back with the next session, about a month from now, we're going to continue this series of F-R-E-E, focusing, repeating, eliminating, and enjoying. But we're going to turn it to a topic either on finance, on health, or work, or your faith. And for the next 3 or 4 months, we're going to go through this process to encourage you to continue to follow Christ intentionally. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for every man and every woman, every couple, for single moms and dads that are listening. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to share a message of hope and help for living intentionally in Christ. And thank you for these folks who are standing with us in support that make this ministry possible each and every day. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for being a member of Intentional Living. Your faithful monthly support helps Dr. Randy encourage people all around the world through the daily broadcast, the Intentional Living website, a myriad of resources, and exclusively to members of Intentional Living, this monthly coaching CD. If you haven't been to our website lately, you may want to go there and join the journey. Sign up at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Thanks for being a member of Intentional Living.